Hi there, and welcome to Session 30 of What the Cluck, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. I'm Matt from Frugal Chicken, and in this episode, we're going to talk about how to tell when your hens are laying, as well as what to do with all the eggs you'll hopefully get this spring, and I know many of you are getting more eggs than you know what to do with at this point. One of the things that I've been struggling a bit with this spring is how to use all the eggs I'm getting, so I'll share with you what I've been doing with them. We'll also talk about how to preserve eggs and the various options there, as well as how to do it both traditionally and safely. I know over the winter we had to buy eggs a couple times, and I really wished last year that I had preserved some of my eggs for when the hens didn't lay at all. We had a couple months there where we weren't getting any eggs. So I wanted to give you this information so that if you want, and if you also have an abundance of eggs, you can preserve them for when you aren't getting any. So by the end of this episode, you'll know how to recognize when your hens are laying, you'll have ideas how to use all those eggs, and you'll also know how to preserve them. Just as a reminder, you can get this episode's show notes at thefrugalchicken.com/podcast30. That's podcast with the numbers 3 and 0. So stay with me. So first, let's talk about how to know when your hens are laying. And there are some, you know, telltale signs that you can use to figure out if they're laying. And especially if your chicken's, you know, free range, you might not find their eggs immediately. Hens like to hide their eggs, especially if they free range, you know, pretty frequently and for long periods of time. I know that mine, even when they get out during the day, if they happen to escape their coop, they'll find weird places to lay their eggs. I found eggs in buckets. I found eggs everywhere. So these are some ways that you can tell if your hens are laying, even if you aren't finding any eggs. And I've ranked these ways. We're going to talk about 5 or 6 different ways, and I've ranked them in the order that I prefer. And I have one special method that I like to use, and we'll get into it right now. So the first thing that I always look for, and this is the most easily discernible way to tell if your hens are laying, is to look at their combs and wattles. Now, as far as the egg industry goes, this really isn't the most scientific way. It's not the way that they prefer. They have their own sort of ways to do it. But in my experience, this is a simple, straightforward way. It's the least invasive, and it's pretty accurate. So if you're not sure if your pullet is laying or not, first thing to do is look at her comb and her wattles. So are the combs and wattles vibrant red? Are they like a duller color? You know, maybe a pink, maybe a paler red, but are they a vibrant red? And by the same token, look at the wattles. Are they small, or are they starting to droop and sag? Similarly, are the wattles red, like a bright, vibrant red, or are they sort of dull-looking, maybe a red with like a grayish tinge to it? If your chicken's comb and wattles are bright red, that is a very good indicator that they are laying. As a hen ages, as she matures into a layer, the combs and the wattles start to get a very sort of distinct, vibrant red look to them. Similarly, the wattles, they will also get a vibrant red color to them, but they'll also start to droop. So if you look at a pullet, an immature pullet that's maybe 12 weeks old, 16 weeks old, you'll start to see her wattles droop a little bit. They'll start to come in, but they're not going to be this sort of long, you know, inch long, inch and a half long wattles, and they're certainly not going to be a vibrant color. So this is the best way that I use to tell if a hen is laying or not. As soon as I start to see the comb and the wattles start to turn this vibrant red and the wattles start to distend down more, it tells me that if she's not laying already, she's going to start laying soon. And sure enough, it's just the easiest way to tell. And it's the way that I recommend to everybody. It's the least invasive. You don't have to do anything like look at their vent or, you know, try to guess. You know, we'll talk a little bit about how to guess by the color of their legs and by the yellow color of their vent and everything in a minute, but it's not invasive. You don't have to guess. Either it's bright red or it's not, and it's just this big old red flag telling you that yes, they are laying, or no, they are probably not laying. Now, the next way that I like to tell, and this is not as sure of a shot as looking at the comb and the wattles, but this is a pretty good indicator. If you have a rooster, one of the best ways to tell if your hen is laying is to look at her behavior. So, for example, when you see pullets, you know, wandering around your yard, or maybe they're in a run or something, they sort of just wander around, do their own thing. They might interact with the rooster, but they're not really too concerned about, you know, what's going on with the rooster. They just sort of, you know, pass it by and, you know, don't worry too much about it. But as a pullet turns into a laying hen, their behavior starts to get a little bit more clingy to a rooster. So I've noticed with my pullets that when they begin to lay, they start to look to the rooster for guidance. And we have several roosters on the farm that have very good leadership skills, and the hens tend to really, you know, cling to them and look for them to guide them. So as the pullets mature into hens, I've noticed that they start to really get attached to the roosters, and that's one of the best ways that I tell whether or not the hen is laying or not. Now, a good example of this are my blue copper Morans. I have three of them. And for months, as they were pullets, these pullets would just wander around. They didn't really worry too much about anything. And then one day, they started to care what the rooster was doing. They started interacting with the rooster. They started picking bugs off the rooster. And that just told me they were ready to start laying. And sure enough, they started laying, you know, just a couple weeks later. Now, another thing to look out for is how the rooster reacts to the hen. So roosters that are surrounded by pullets don't really care too much about the pullets themselves. And that's because, as far as the rooster's concerned, they don't have much reproductive value. So roosters tend to be more concerned about what the hens are doing. So when a rooster starts doing his mating dance around a pullet slash hen, when he starts to be concerned about what she's doing, when he starts to be concerned with what she's eating and starting to look for food for her, that tells me that hen, if she's not laying, she's going to start laying soon, because suddenly she's become of reproductive value to the rooster. So that's another really good way to tell. Of course, if you don't have a rooster, none of this is really that, you know, applicable. But for flocks that have hens and have a rooster, this is a good way to tell if your pullet is starting to turn into a hen. Now let's talk for a minute about what's called skin bleaching. And this is not really one of my favorite ways to tell. It's one of the ways that they use in the egg industry to tell, because it tends to be maybe a little bit more accurate than some of the other indicators that we've talked about. And it's just an industry standard. But I don't rely on this one too much because it can get a little tricky. And it takes a little bit of experience to know if a hen is laying based on color bleaching. But first, let's talk about what it is, all right? So as hens start laying, they naturally start to divert the yellow color in their skin pigment from their vent, their eye rings, the legs, and the beak, and they put that yellow skin pigment color into their yolks. So the vent is the first place to start losing its yellow color. The yellow will fade from the vent within the first week of laying, and the vent will become a white, pink, or bluish white color. Now within 2 weeks, the eye rings will start to bleach, and then finally her beak will begin to lose its pigment too, starting at the base of the beak and heading outwards towards the tip. And a hen that shows black in its beak is likely already laying. This tends to be breed dependent, since darker colored breeds sometimes have dark beaks, obviously. It takes 4 to 8 weeks for the beak to begin to bleach. So if you have an older hen and you're not sure if she's laying or not, one thing to look at is her beak. And again, if her beak has not been bleached, she hasn't laid an egg in about 4 to 6 weeks, according to industry sources. Like I said, skin bleaching is accurate. It is, again, what they use in industry, but it's really not my most favorite way. I think that looking at the wattles and looking at behavior and looking at the comb, the color of the comb, is really a non-invasive, easy way for anybody to tell whether or not their hen is laying. So the next thing we're going to talk about are feathers, and specifically molting. So molting is almost always a sure sign that your hens aren't laying, and that's because the bird needs to put her energy into making new feathers instead of eggs. So first, what is molting? Let's talk about that for a minute. So when a hen molts, she's shedding her old feathers and starting to grow new ones. And like I said, she'll usually stop laying eggs at this point because she needs to put her energy into growing the new feathers, which is an activity that requires a lot of energy. Molting usually occurs in winter, and it's triggered by the decreased amount of light as the days get shorter. How long molting takes depends on the chicken. It can be about 7 or 8 weeks usually, but I've also seen it last longer than that as well. We have one hen on the property that took quite a long time to finish her molt. So it just depends on the hen. It also depends on their diet, how good their diet is. There's a lot of different factors. So usually 7 to 8 weeks, but I've also seen it take longer. It just depends. Now, when your hen starts to molt, there are some things that you can do to bring her back into egg production faster. Try offering her a feed that's about 22% protein, and in my experience, this is the easiest way to help a hen through the molting process. You can also offer things like mealworms, which are very high in protein, sunflower seeds, which are high in protein and fat, as well as eggs, which are obviously full of protein, to help her increase the amount of protein that she's getting. One thing to bear in mind is that molting can be a painful process for the hen as she loses feathers and regrows new ones, so handle her as little as possible just to make things as easy as possible for her. And once she's done molting, your hen should start coming back into eggs fairly quickly. And the amount of protein that you give her will also help her come back into eggs once she's done molting. Now that being said, there are some other ways that you can use feathers to tell if a hen is laying or not. Now, hens who have been laying will have feathers that are possibly broken or rumpled, while hens with sleek and clean-looking feathers might not be laying. And this goes for both pullets and hens that were previously laying. So as they stop laying, the quality of their plumage might alter. So while messy feathers are a good sign of egg laying, honestly, I don't use it as a sign alone. I use it as sort of a secondary indicator, and it really actually isn't as accurate as some of the other ideas that we've talked about in this podcast. But messy feathers is one thing that you can look at in conjunction with other things such as the comb and the wattles and everything else that we've talked about. And, you know, this makes sense if you think about it, because if you look at a pullet, that's already feathered out. So a 16-week pullet or a 20-week-old pullet, if you look at how sleek and shiny they are and how their feathers lay very smoothly on their body, that's very different sometimes than a hen that has been laying consistently. Her feathers will be a little bit more rumpled and messy. So that's a good way to tell if your hen is laying by just looking at her feathers. Now, if you've done all of this and you're still not really sure if she's laying or not, you know, maybe you're not finding any eggs, even though her comb and her wattles look like they were indicating that she's laying, then one option you do have is just simply isolating her and putting her in either the coop by herself or putting her somewhere where you can actually see if she's laying an egg or not. And I've done this with hens that I know should be laying and I can't find any eggs because we have a couple hens that are Houdinis that can get out of any coop and any run. So I've taken those hens sometimes and put them in a isolated area. You know, I might put a rooster with her, but I've done that before just to make sure that they're laying. Now, if you go this direction, bear in mind that hens that aren't used to being penned or if they experience some sort of stress, it can actually take about 2 weeks for them to start laying again. So give them some time if you do decide to pen them. I have hens that, you know, we recently built a new coop on our property, and I have some hens that I have put in there that I know are laying and I know that are regular layers, but now that they are in a new coop and they're trying to figure out where to lay and everything in the coop, they have stopped laying for the moment. So, you know, I'll give them a couple weeks and, you know, kind of take it from there. But if you do decide to move them or isolate them, it might take a couple weeks before they get back into eggs. So now let's talk a little bit about how to prompt hens to lay if you've isolated them and they're, you know, a little bit stressed by that, or if you're just trying to get your hens to lay for whatever reason. One of the best things that you can do is to give them a quiet nesting area. And, you know, like I said, we're building a new coop and we don't quite have nesting boxes in there. We're waiting for them to come in the mail, some commercial nesting boxes for them. And we have some hens that just don't want to lay at this point. So if you are in that sort of same situation, you can give them a quiet area to go to, just, you know, maybe build a nesting box or some sort of dark, quiet corner that they can, you know, go and lay their eggs in. And that's one way to prompt them to lay. Something else that you can do is try using things like herbs. For example, mint, lavender, and marigold are very good to help hens start to lay. Mint is stimulating to hens, while lavender and marigold can soothe them. Lavender especially has soothing properties, and it can, you know, help a stressed hen decompress a little bit, which can then prompt her to lay. Now, something that you can try that is kind of a old-timey method of getting hens to lay is red pepper and also cayenne pepper. I personally haven't tried this. I actually am going to try it out now that I've been researching it a little bit. This is sort of an old-timey, traditional method of getting hens to lay that some people swear by. So it's something that you can try. What you do is you can either put it in their food or sprinkle it around. If you are going to put it in their food, go ahead and try about a teaspoon or maybe half a teaspoon to start out in their feed. Now, the other thing about cayenne pepper that a lot of people like is that it's a traditional way to also deworm your chickens. And again, I've never actually tried it. My chickens usually carry very low worm loads because I keep their coop very clean. something like cayenne pepper is a traditional way to help them reduce their worm load. The way that it works is as the hen digests it, it's supposed to cause the worms to unhook from the chicken's intestines, and then the chickens just poop the worms out. Like I said, this is a traditional method. It's not something that I've personally tested, and it's not something that has been scientifically proven to work. But, you know, if you want to give it a shot, you can. And you're not likely to hurt your hens as long as you're not giving them too much cayenne. Hens don't have taste buds like people do. They only have about 40 or 50 taste buds. So they're not going to taste it. It's not going to taste too spicy to them or anything. But it is one old-timey trick that people swear by to get them to start laying eggs. Now, one thing that I have seen is to not use it more than 3 or 4 times a week. Starting out, like, if I were to start out this with my hens, I probably would actually only do it once or twice a week. I wouldn't even go 3 or 4 times a week. And I would just mix it into their feed, you know, half a teaspoon into their feed as I went to go feed them. Now, one of the nice things about this remedy is that you can actually grow the peppers yourself. So if you want to grow cayenne peppers in your garden this year, you can go ahead and dry them, you know, harvest them, and then dry them, and then grind them up, and then have a nice, sustainable, cheap way to get your hens to start laying eggs and, you know, deworm them a little bit. Now, the other thing about this is that if you're going to try this, I would make sure that you are feeding them outside and not in a closed coop area, because the pepper can kind of, you know, maybe irritate their eyes and their respiratory systems a little bit if they're in an enclosed area. You know, if you've ever sniffed red pepper or even black pepper, it can really cause you to sneeze. So I would go ahead and try it outdoors, you know, feed them outdoors just to reduce any sort of situation where they might inhale it and then have some sort of problem from that. So now at this point in the podcast, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about Manipro Poultry, who is one of the sponsors of this podcast. And I'm happy to partner with them to bring you this podcast, and that's because I love their feed. They have a full array of organic, non-GMO feed for every stage of your chicken's life, and this is huge. New this year is their organic grower crumbles. This is a brand I trust, and that's why I'm happy to tell you about them. You might notice that in every episode of What the Cluck, I discuss how important diet is, and that's because it dictates not just how healthy your hens are, but how healthy their eggs are for you. Now, if you buy chicks at the feed store this spring, or if you have hens that are not laying and you're trying to get them to lay, and you're not sure what to feed them to help them out, go with Manipro's non-GMO organic crumbles, and you can be sure that you're headed in the right direction to raising a happy, healthy flock. Now, if you go to the Manipro Poultry Facebook page, and I'll put a link to that page in the show notes, you can register to get a Chick Days coupon book, which they will send to you. There's $32 in coupons in the book, and you'll also find coupons for their organic crumbles, as well as their other products, such as hen treats and their mealworms, which I especially love. The mealworms are very reasonably priced for the amount that you get, and you can mix them with the organic crumbles for an additional protein boost to help your hens through molting, for example, which is so important for your chickens. You can visit Manipro to find out more about their line of organic non-GMO feeds at manipro.com, and I'll put a link to all that in the show notes. So now let's talk a bit about what to do with all the eggs that you're hopefully getting now that the hens are starting to lay again. And I know that we are getting a ton of eggs, and I have some ideas to help you out with how to use them all up. So the first thing, obviously, that you can do is you can eat the eggs. And the eggs aren't just limited to breakfast, and what I personally do is I try to look for recipes that use a lot of eggs. And if you're somebody who has cholesterol issues, then maybe this isn't the best way for you to go. But I really look for recipes like quiches, and custard is a big favorite of mine. If you don't know how to make custard, it's probably one of the simplest things to make, and you'll use like 2 or 3 eggs. I tend to use like 3 eggs when I make custard, and you just use some milk and some sugar, and you've got yourself a pretty good dessert there. You know, frittatas are another one, and frittatas are a really good way to use up a lot of sort of odds and ends when it comes to vegetables and meat in your kitchen that you might have in your refrigerator. So those are some really good ideas to use up eggs. Now, the other thing I like to do with eggs is I like to feed them to my livestock. And, you know, we get about a dozen eggs a day here, if not more. Sometimes we get, you know, 16 eggs a day here. And obviously, you know, I can't use them all in the kitchen. So I choose to feed them to my livestock, in particular my pigs. My pigs, you know, they love the eggs, and it's just a way to get rid of a lot of them very quickly, while at the same time saving on some feed for my pigs. You can also feed them to your chickens and your other poultry. For example, my turkey really seems to love eggs. If you are going to go that direction, I've talked about this in past podcast episodes. If you are going to go the direction of feeding your chickens eggs, cook them in order to make sure that your hens don't turn into egg eaters, as well as reducing the chances that they're going to get reinfected with things like salmonella. But those are some, you know, really good options for using up some of the eggs. Now, other animals that you can give them to, obviously, are dogs and cats. We had a dog a while ago. When I got him from the pound. He was a rescue. And he was very, very nervous when I brought him home. He refused to eat any dog food, but he would eat scrambled eggs. So that's, you know, one way to use up your eggs is, you know, offer them to your dogs. And I'm not a dog expert, and I wouldn't offer the eggs to your dog. I wouldn't only ever offer eggs to a dog. I would offer the eggs in tandem with, you know, a properly formulated dog food. But that is one thing that you can do with it. You know, cats really like scrambled eggs with, you know, cheese, for example. And again, I wouldn't only feed them the scrambled eggs. I would feed them that. It's more like a treat. But that's a really good way to start using them up. Now, you can also use them in your garden. So, for example, if you plan to grow tomatoes this year, one way to avoid things like blossom end rot, and if you've ever had that in your tomatoes, it's the most frustrating thing ever. Because, you know, you're trying to grow these tomatoes and next thing you know, they're all dead and unusable because of blossom end rot. Well, that's actually a calcium deficiency in tomatoes. So if you put crushed eggshells in the hole before you transplant your tomato seedlings into the ground, that's one way to avoid blossom end rot. So that's actually an excellent way to use up your eggs. You know, so for example, you cook with the eggs, and then you take the eggshells and you put them in the ground with your tomato seedlings. So now let's move on to how to preserve eggs. So back in the old homesteading days, you know, the 19th century and earlier, and even in some modern day cultures, it became important to preserve eggs during the summer months, since obviously during the winter, the hens will stop laying. So it became an important part of survival to be able to preserve these eggs for more lean times. And like I discussed at the beginning of this podcast, preserving eggs is something that I'm going to be doing this year in order to not have to buy eggs over the winter when my hens are going to stop laying. So the first thing that you can do is you can actually pickle your eggs. Now to pickle eggs, what you do is you preserved peeled hard-boiled eggs in a vinegar brine solution mixed with spices. Some people like to pickle them with beets so that the eggs get sort of a red color, and that's fine. That's probably something I'll try to do this year too. You can also try turmeric in order to give them sort of like a yellow color. And, you know, both directions there are fine. And they both have different flavors and they're both really great. Now, in the show notes for this episode, I will put a recipe for how to actually pickle. It's how to make the pickling brine for your eggs. So be sure to check out the show notes to get that recipe. Now, you might see some advice online to can eggs. And the bottom line here is, based on all my research, it's hard to say whether or not you can actually can eggs. According to the Ball Blue Book, there really isn't a approved recipe for canning eggs. So I really actually don't recommend it. There are some articles online that tell you how to do it. Personally, I don't recommend it because, again, like I said, there is no approved recipe and I don't want anybody to get hurt. So I would avoid canning eggs. And, you know, you'll see in stores eggs that have been canned and that they've been canned by, you know, manufacturers and it's an industrial item. The way that factories can is much different than the way that we can do it at home. You know, for example, in a water bath canner or in a pressure canner, they have very different methods and their systems are tested. And so they know it's safe to do. But for the home canner, there's really no approved method out there, so I would really just avoid doing it altogether. Now, one old-timey method to preserve eggs is actually using water glass, and this is something that's been used for centuries. Water glass is sodium silicate, and it's been used with wide success to preserve eggs. You can actually buy it on Amazon, and you can buy that at thefrugalchicken.com/waterglass, all one word. Now, water glass works because the bacteria that would enter the egg to spoil it are kept out by the mixture. So to learn how to do this, I actually asked my friend Catherine, who writes at Granny Miller, how to do this, and she's an expert on the subject. Now, Granny Miller recommends diluting the water glass in 11 parts water to 1 part sodium silicate. This works out to about 1 quart of water to 1/3 cup of water glass. Boil your water before mixing it with the sodium silicate. And in fact, many recipes actually advise to use rainwater, although boiled tap water should be fine. Allow the water to cool completely before adding the water glass. Once you've made your mixture, pour it into a sterilized ceramic crock or plastic bucket. Definitely be sure to avoid metal in this case. And sterilize your vessel that you're going to preserve your eggs in by cleaning it with boiling water. You definitely want to make sure that you kill any sort of bacteria, yeast, anything that can get into the eggs to rot them. You want to make sure that you do your best to get rid of them. I wouldn't use anything like bleach at this point. I would just use hot boiling water, maybe a vinegar solution, but definitely, you know, stay away from bleach for something like this. Now, the water glass mixture needs to be completely cool before you add any eggs. And that's to make sure that the eggs don't get cooked or that the temperature changes or anything in there. So just make sure that the water glass mixture is completely cool before you start putting eggs in there. Now you can add as many eggs as you like to your vessel, but be sure to not stack them too high because that could cause the ones on the bottom to crack. And you need to make sure that you store the eggs the pointed side down, okay? Leave 2 to 3 inches of the water glass liquid above the eggs and then cover the entire vessel very tightly and store it in a cool area. You can add fresh eggs daily to the crock, but be sure never to use store-bought eggs or eggs that have been washed, okay? This is very important. Always make sure that you preserve eggs in water glass that still have the bloom on them. If you've washed them, they're not going to store as well. Eggs without the bloom tend to rot faster. They tend to, you know, you have to use them first. So when you go to store eggs in water glass, always make sure that they're unwashed and that they still have the bloom intact. Now, I've seen some things online that say that sodium silicate is actually harmful to you. It's completely up to you whether or not you feel it's harmful or not to you. What I can tell you is that it's a naturally occurring mineral, and there's no reports of it being unsafe to consume. So if you do want to use it to preserve eggs, it's something that's time-tested, that has been around for centuries, and personally, I feel comfortable doing it, but again, it's completely up to you. So the next thing that you can do to preserve your eggs is actually to freeze them, and this is more of a common modern-day method, since the advent of freezers and ice boxes and everything. So there's a couple of different methods to do this, and obviously, they both have their advantages and disadvantages. So to freeze your eggs, you can crack them into an ice tray, cover it with plastic, and then place it in your freezer. And you should be able to stack the ice trays as needed. Then when you need an egg, you just pull the tray out, pop the ice cube out, and then allow it to thaw before using. You can either scramble the yolks and the white together, which has the advantage of better consistency, or you can freeze them with the yolk intact, or you can go ahead and separate the yolks and the whites before you freeze them. Now the disadvantage to this is that it's going to take up room in your freezer and you have to wait for it to thaw before you can use it. You know, I have concerns about the consistency of it, but you know, this is an option available to you. Personally, I don't freeze my eggs. I don't go that direction because we don't have much room in our freezer, but you know, some people do and that's perfectly fine, and this is a perfectly fine way to preserve your eggs. So lastly, you can preserve your eggs using mineral oil. And the way to do this is to use a tablespoon of mineral oil per 18 eggs and then slather a layer of the oil onto the eggshell. Put it back in the container, pointy side down again, to preserve it, and then obviously close the container. You can refrigerate it at this point or put it in a cool, dark area. Turn the eggs over once a month to keep the yolks from settling. Now, for this, you must use mineral oil. You can't use any other oil, you know, canola, baby oil, whatever. You have to use mineral oil. If you don't, they will go bad. So you'll have spent all this time slapping oil on the egg only to have it just be a big mess. So with mineral oil, you can't preserve the eggs for years and years and years. You can preserve it for, you know, longer than you would be able to otherwise. You know, I've seen some people use mineral oil on eggs and the eggs have lasted up to 6 months without refrigeration. Again, this is not a method I personally have chosen to use, but it is an option available to you. And I'll put a link in the show notes to an article where you can read more about it. So that's this week's podcast, and I hope it gives you an idea about how to tell if your hens are laying, as well as how to use up an abundance of eggs and how to preserve eggs. Now, if you're interested in learning how to raise chickens naturally, and if you want some extra help, I actually have a book available on Amazon which can help you get started. The book is called Chickens Naturally Raising a Sustainable Flock, and if you're interested in raising chickens naturally, then this book is for you. It's a 50-page, full-color ebook. about how to naturally raise a sustainable flock of chickens. You can check it out at thefrugalchicken.com/chickenbook. Thanks for listening to this episode of What the Cluck, and I'll see you next time.